Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for August 13, 2017. This podcast is a replay of our Sunday morning service. Many Sundays, the manuscript can be found at gracebaptistchurchnc.org under recent posts on the right. Information about Grace, where and when we meet, can be found on our website and will be given again at the end of the program. Today we will be studying the fear of God from the book of Proverbs.
The whole duty of man, so listen, this is our duty. The whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. So here we see two duties. The first one, or one of them, in keeping the commands pertains to what we do. But the second is more fundamental. It's a heart attitude, something that dictates everything we do in this life. What we think about life, when questions come our way, what we think about politics, what we think about our family and how we make decisions about how we govern our families, what we think about our jobs, when we go to our jobs week by week. And the list goes on and on. So wisdom, or the fear of God that brings wisdom, is fundamental to everything that we are. And we can approach this, I think, from different angles, because the Bible speaks about the fear of God from lots of different angles. But this morning, we're just going to take the book of Proverbs, this morning and next week, and look at this topic. So, in order to answer this question, we must begin where? It's easy. We must begin with God. We point up. He's everywhere. God is spirit. Can't see him in that way. But we must begin with God himself. We must know who God is in order that we might fear him in the right way. Look at chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So who does the writer of Proverbs say that he is? He is the Lord. He is not simply a creator, as many say, who lets the world go in its way and lets it run on its own. He is not merely a boss or a good instructor or simply the loving being out there that much of the world sees him as. He is the Lord. He is the creator and the sustainer of everything. At his word, everything that we see and everything that we don't see was created out of nothing. That alone should cause us in our hearts to worship him, when you think that he created out of nothing with just a word. He does what he likes. He is sovereign. He does not need us to give him counsel, as we think we need to give so much counsel in this world. In Paul's famous sermon in Athens, chapter 17. You don't need to turn there, but here's what he says when he stands up in the Areopagus there in front of all of these pagans, these Greeks in Athens. He says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, he does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined, allotted periods, and the boundaries of their dwelling place." God has determined, whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not, even to our evil, to our sin, to our hurts, to the good things that happen, it's all allotted by God, and it is a great mystery. But this truth is foundational to all of the truths. And who could do such a thing except a Lord? And he is called the Lord. He's not just an underlord. He is the Lord. And to him we owe all allegiance, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength today, we owe to God who is the Lord. And so with this in mind, what does it mean to fear the Lord God? Well, in the English language, we tend to use words to express this thought. To be afraid, which is to fear something. Or we might say someone is scared of something or someone. Now, in the Greek, when I went back and looked at it throughout the entire Bible, even in the Old Testament, where the Greek was translated, Old Testament's translated into the Greek, most of the time, it's translated different ways, but there's only one word. It's phobos, where you get the word, you have a phobia against something. And so that's really the only word that's used, that you need context to understand how it is used. Sometimes it's translated fear. In fact, most of the time it's translated fear. But many times it's translated to be terrified or to terrify or to be afraid or to tremble. Only one time I could find in all of the Bible was this word phobia translated as scared. Only one time. And so in order to understand what it means here in Proverbs, what does it mean to fear the Lord, we need context in the Bible in order to understand this. We are told, we aren't told to be scared of God. We're told what? To fear Him. And I've often heard people say, and you've probably heard this, I don't believe in a God that I must be scared of. Have you ever heard that? When they think about this fear, God wouldn't ask me to be scared of Him because my Father, heaven forbid, if my Father required me as a son to be, in that sense, scared of Him. So let me think about this a little bit more in some different contexts. Kids, look up here at me. A lot of these go back to childhood. Have you ever been scared of a bully at school? Or scared of someone, not you, Oakley? Maybe for more of the little boys. Because I remember when I was a kid that I was scared, not so much as a young kid, but as a teenager, there was one guy, I'm not going to give names, but I was scared of this guy in my neighborhood because he was a bit of a bully. And I didn't want him to beat me up. But let's think about it some other ways. Have you ever seen the movie Monsters, Inc.? It seems like we've watched that thing a million times, or my kids have, or Abigail has. Every time we get in the car, it's Monsters, Inc. Well, it's just a kid's movie, but the monsters get under the bed, don't they? And then there's even commercials about things under beds. And so we think something's going to come out. Maybe you are scared of such things. I think probably when I was a child, if you really pushed me to it, I probably would have to say yeah. So I was scared of that. Think about all of the insects and spiders and sea creatures and snakes that live in Australia. I know I am scared just to hear Kristen talk about a funnel web. I get scared. It's just going to, every time you think you're going to run over there and visit their family, this funnel web is going to jump out of the closet and bite me, which her mother says she's seen, what, one in her whole life. But still, everybody says, man, have you seen those creatures down in Australia? They can get you, just jump in the water, one touch, 15 seconds, you're not going to make it back. Well, those kinds of things still scare me. In fact, when I was younger, they didn't so much because I didn't have any sense. But in all honesty, I'm sure Joe's got something there about young people. Anyway, I am scared of even getting in the water sometimes now because there's sharks out there. I'm scared of that. And you might even say that I am fearful, or I'm terrified, or I'm afraid. But my question is, this what the writer of Proverbs means when he says, fear God? And I think there is an overlap, of course, and we'll see in a moment, of just awe of God. But I think that we can be scared of such things, but to fear God goes deeper, and it needs a lot more explanation because the Bible speaks about this fear of God from many different perspectives. So let me give some of these perspectives, okay? I'm going to go through five or six of these about what it means to fear God from different perspectives. First one is this: to fear God is to fear Him as the Lord. He is not a monster under our bed. He is not a shark in the ocean. He is not a funnel web spider from Australia. He's not a hard math teacher from South Rowan. He is the one who holds the universe in His hand as the Lord. He is the one who puts laws into existence that say clearly that there'll be a solar eclipse here coming up really soon, okay? He is the one who does that. In other words, He is God. I am not God. You are not God. Thank goodness. There is a higher authority, and it isn't the higher authority of AA. It is God who is the Lord of the universe. And this is the starting place of what it means to fear God. So we must start there from that perspective. From another perspective, the Bible teaches us to fear God is to trust Him as Lord. So not just to say, you are Lord, but to actually do something about that it affects our lives. There are many people who give lip service to the Lordship of God. I would have said I would have been one of those before I became a believer. And there was this sense, and there's mystery in this, guys, but there was this sense where I would say, yeah, He's Lord. And I believe these things that even I would preach today, but yet doesn't quite get to the point to where the Bible says that I trust in Him as Lord. And from what I have read, to fear Him is also to trust Him. Look at Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. The writer is comparing the fear of man with the fear of God. The fear of man lays a snare. So if we are fearful of men, a snare will come our way. We'll get caught in a trap if we are not fearful. Have fear of God. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. And so he's saying there's something here that goes along with fear, but to fear Him also means to trust in Him. Before I became a Christian, I gave lip service to His Lordship. Only later did I really, could I say, I think, that I trusted in Him as that Lord, and it affects my life. On Judgment Day, many will say what? Lord, Lord. Very clearly, this group of people calls Him Lord. But do they fear Him in the way that the Bible teaches? I think they don't, because they will be turned away. So from another perspective, to fear God means to tremble at the thought of who He is and what He says. There's a sense of awe when we consider Him as the Lord. I know that young boys with good fathers who command respect and love them, I know that I respected my father, and my father said something. I may not like it, but I had a bit of fear and awe, and I trembled a bit in my heart that I would disappoint him or that I would go against his will. And so I think that's sort of what the Bible teaches, I think, about fearing God. There is a sense of awe when we consider Him as the Lord. Do you remember Job? At that time, the most righteous man on the earth. In fact, Satan comes to him and says, comes to God and he says, does Job fear God without no reason? Look at how you take care of him. He's rich. You give him all of this. He's healthy. He's loved by everyone. This is why he fears God. Well, God allows Satan to put him to the test to show his heart that no, his fear was not resting upon the things, but it was resting upon fear of God himself. But the most righteous man, after everything happened to him, he approaches God and he tries to speak. He shouldn't have done that, because we read in Job 40, verse 4, he says, after he speaks, he says, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer to you? And when his friend Elihu considered the works of God, he says, at all of these things my heart trembles and leaps out of its place. Let me ask, when you consider the greatness of God, does your heart tremble and leap within you? Have you ever had such thoughts when you consider the Lord of the universe? This is an application for us to think about and consider, because this is what the Bible teaches. When we really consider who He is, does our hearts leap and move within us. Now, I'm not saying that it has to all the time. Of course not. But does it ever when you think about such things? One of the best examples in Scripture is Moses, Exodus 3. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why this bush is not burning. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. Again, this is the Lord God. Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And what do you think Moses did? Oh, that's great news. No, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And so this is another thing, the Bible teaches us to fear him and have awe in who he is. Another one, from another perspective, to fear God also means to see ourselves as we really are, which are condemned sinners. Do you remember the two thieves on the cross? There were three. One man, Jesus was in the middle. Another man. They were thieves. And they were being righteously killed for their crimes. Luke 23, we read, one of the criminals who was hanged railed at him. That means screamed and hollered and talked to him in a condescending way. And he said, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other listened. And the other rebuked this criminal on the other side. And so it was a shouting match going on there on the cross. And he says to this other man, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are justly condemned, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. The person who fears God sees himself, herself, as a sinner who needs the mercy and grace of God to be saved. Another perspective, to fear God means not to be wise in your own eyes. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes, but instead, fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. The person who fears the Lord in his heart, he says, you know what? I'm nothing apart from the grace of God. And so, it's an attitude of the heart. From another perspective, to fear God means to hate evil. And then we might even see in other places, not only to hate evil, but instead of that, to do what is right. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Is means equals in math. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. So this morning, you know you fear God if you really, truly hate evil. Not because someone else is getting what they deserve or not getting what they deserve, but because God says something is wrong. So let me ask, when you think of your sin, do you hate your sin? Do you hate the sins of this world and the evil that is going on in the world and the mess that it causes us? And we don't just hate things because it causes us mess. We hate them because they're evil. For evil itself. From another perspective, to fear God means to be teachable and humble. Look at Proverbs 15:33. It says this, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. There's another equals there, is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. The person who fears God says, I don't have all the answers. And then even a step further, even the answers that I do have, Lord, they've come from You. There's nothing that we have that has not come from a sovereign Lord, a good God who gives us everything that we need. Even the nice decisions that we make, we can't take them as believers and say, I've done that on my own outside of the grace of God. And so the humble person, the one who is teachable, says, Lord, have mercy upon me. Please teach me. There are lots of other truths that come out throughout all of the Scriptures. But with these in mind, these few in mind, I hope that we can see that to fear God is so much more than being scared of something. It is, if you hear anything this morning, hear this. To fear God is an attitude of the heart. Let me finish with one of the best examples in Scripture, I think, about what it means to fear for someone who fears God. In the New Testament, one night, it's recorded in a couple places, but one night after a long day of preaching, teaching, with all the crowds, Jesus and His disciples are tired, so they jump into one of the boats that is there, and we don't know, they were probably going in many boats, so Jesus was there with a few of the disciples, and then there were some in another boat, and whatsoever, and off they go into the night. So Jesus lays down to go to sleep. I'm sure some of the others did the same as they were tired. It was evening. And while Jesus, though, was sleeping down below, you remember the story. A great storm came upon them there in the Sea of Galilee. And so think about this, though. When the storm came, the Bible says it was a great storm. Well, we tend to think, how could it be that great? But remember, these guys were fishermen. They've been in boats their whole lives. How many storms do you think they've been through? Where they go, it's a bad storm, but we'll be just fine. We'll make it. Because I've been on boats before where I thought it was going to capsize, and the captain says, are you kidding me? Boat could take triple this. Well, see, they knew what was going on, and this was no regular storm. It was massive, and they were going to be capsized and surely perish. And so they woke Jesus up, and they said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing in this storm? Well, I imagine Jesus rubbed his eyes and he woke up and he went up on deck and he looked around without any delay. We are told that he rebuked the wind and the storm and the sea. He said, Peace, be still. How long do you think it took for the storm to become to not be there? It was immediate. Immediately there was no wind. Immediately it was as glass. Immediately everything was gone. Everything was clear. And I think Jesus then headed back down for some more sleep. But he said before going down, here's what we read about what they said. They were filled, They were filled with great fear. And they said to one another, Who then is this? That even the wind and the sea obey Him. This is the Lord God today. Let me move on to point number two, which will be much shorter. But let me ask this question. Why is the fear of God so important? Now, this really, we're going to continue this next week. But let's just take a look for a moment at the book of Proverbs and see what Proverbs has to say about answering this question. Why is the fear of God so important? It's probably already come out already. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of God is important because it is the beginning of knowledge. Which of you wants to have knowledge? Which of us wants to be knowledgeable? We all want to be knowledgeable. Some of us are a whole lot smarter than others, for sure. I have to study hard to get things. Some people can just read something one time and get it for forever. But God gives all of that. But which of us wants to have knowledge? Which one of you wants to have understanding in this life? In the way you conduct your business, in the way you make your decisions in your business, the way you make decisions and as to how to parent your children, husbands, wives, the way you decide how to interact with your spouse. The questions go on and on. The person, the man, the woman, the child, the grandparent, whoever, who fears God has knowledge, according to what this verse says. And this knowledge is endless because it comes from an infinite God. So an intelligent person fears God. So if you want knowledge, then you, of course, that shouldn't be the motivating factor for why we want to fear God. But the Bible is very clear here in a practical way. The person who fears God has knowledge. Also, the fear of God is important because it is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10. Probably one of the centerpieces of all the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, wisdom is a little different than knowledge in my esteem, though they certainly overlap. To have knowledge is to know the truth and know about this world and the things in this world about something. To have facts and truths and to know and to be intelligent about certain things. But to have wisdom overlaps into something more. It means to be able to make good decisions based upon the knowledge that we have. So let me ask you today, do you lack wisdom? Fear God. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And the wisdom that comes from God, what does it look like? We'll see this again next week. But it is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Wisdom, I would say also, is valuable. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Wisdom is, we say it's valuable, but it really is priceless. I would argue that you cannot put a price upon this kind of wisdom because it is as valuable as God is Himself. And if you want to do what is right in this life, I would urge you to seek it and spend all that you have to get it. And where does it begin? Fearing the Lord God. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. Just turn on the talk shows. Look no further. Everybody's just sharing their own opinion. But we must fear God as believers in Christ if we are to have knowledge and wisdom. The fear of God is important also because it is the pathway to life. Look at Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Wow. So fear of God is the pathway to life. If you come going through the woods, and you've been on a camping trip and you're trying to do some hiking, and you come to two paths. One path may not be a very good path to take, but the other one may be the path. But one of them may be the best path to take. The Bible says that fear of God is the pathway to life. Death is what has come to all of us because of sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin are death. God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat of it is the day that you will die. And all of us have inherited this sin nature. And death is where we are all headed. It's come to us through our father Adam. But through the fear of God, God has made a pathway to life. Another one. Fear of God is important because it leads to humility. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Humility leads to life. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We see that over and over in the Scriptures. The proud person does not fear God in the way that I think we have considered it this morning. He may think he does, but if his fear does not sound like what we've been talking about, it's not the kind of fear that God requires of us. Now, I'm going to stop there. I had to stop somewhere as I got quite a bit left. So I'm going to stop there for now. But let me finish with a question. I'm going to answer this again next week, but try to do a little more study into this and try to give a little better explanation. But how does the fear of God come to you? If we know who we are to fear and what it means to fear Him, it's an attitude of the heart and not just being scared of a spider. How does it get to me? And again, I'm going to spend some time next week. But initially, I must say, as I gave this some thought, as I consider the Scriptures, and I don't think I'm wrong at all on this. I think it's one of the most fundamental truths in all of the world, in all of the universe, when it comes to a sinner like me and like you. I think that the fear of God comes down to us by the grace of God, solely upon His sovereign will. Yes, God uses means to bring a person to such fear and to produce the heart that we are talking about this morning. To see Him as sovereign, to see Him as the Lord, to trust in Him, to believe in Him, to love Him, to hate evil, to do what is right ethically, to be teachable, to be humble. This is what it means to fear God. And I believe that it comes down to us by the grace of God. And God did use people in my life. Many of you here today that I am in the place I am today. He used the Word. As people shared with me the Word. He used prayers of people that I know when I consider my own life. But at the same point, how did those people know how to pray or why to pray for me or how to share with me if they themselves had not also received the grace of God in their lives? At the end of the day, the fear of God must be a result simply of the grace of God, of a sovereign Lord in my life or in your life. Consider Moses again. He was tending the sheep. God mysteriously appeared to him in the burning bush. Listen, examples abound on this. Now, I think about Moses and I go, was he fearing God before then? It's subjective. I think, of course, there was a level of fear of God that he had. But he was living with this family who was a priest of Midian, and, you know, we don't know all of that. How is God appearing to him? All of a sudden, there's the burning bush. God appears to him. Did Moses deserve that? In fact, Moses is going to say, I can't even speak. God gets angry with him when he tells him to go back down, and so he gives him his brother Aaron to go. Moses did not deserve that. So how can you say that, oh, Moses was seeking the Lord? Well, maybe he was, but even if he was seeking the Lord, he was seeking the Lord in the right way, and even that seeking was coming by the grace of God in his life. What about Jacob? He was a man of deceit. He lived his life lying and cheating and deceiving, but yet he was a man of faith, the Bible tells us. One day, God appeared to him, and he wrestled with him. Go imagine. But after that moment, he was changed. But why did God go to Jacob? Except by the mere grace and mercy of God. Apostle Paul, even worse, traveling down the road to Damascus, where was he going? To kill Christians. I mean, you might even make a strong case for that he was definitely not seeking the Lord, was he? In the way the Bible teaches, very strong case. And as he is going there, just ready to go and kill these believers, and persecute these believers and put them in prison, what happens? God appears. And he's struck down with this light. The grace of God appeared in his life. And what level of fear did he have before in the way the Bible's teaching? I don't know. He was brought up to understand and learn that, but he didn't until then. We could go on and on. And then if you look at your own life and you go, how did I come? Well, many of you came as children. It's harder to tell when this happens. But those of you who came as an adult and you were hell-bent to go this way and God shows up, how can you attribute your salvation to anything and this fear that comes to you apart from the grace and mercy of God? For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one can boast. So the kind of fear that I've been speaking of this morning comes to your soul and my soul by the sovereign grace of God. And you know what? There's nothing. I remember even dealing with the sovereignty of God and responsibility of man years and years ago with Jimmy. We'd sit and talk forever. I miss those times. But I remember asking Jimmy, which one brings God more glory? And he'd say, well, God just does it. Which one brings God more glory? Did I say that God looked down to the future and said, he's going to make a good decision on fearing me, therefore I'm going to choose him? No, that doesn't bring God glory the way that this does. There's nothing more fundamental than this truth. And so when we think about the fear of God, and we want to cry out, my soul just says, how can it be? And it's a great mystery, but it makes sense of the entire Bible. Even thinking about I don't know if this is connected or not, but the year of Jubilee. I'm not sure. Does anybody know in here if Israel ever celebrated the year of Jubilee? Anybody know? Just curious, because I don't know. I've heard they never did it because it happens in Christ. But just the thought of God moving in a way. Anyway, it blows my mind that he would show such grace to me. But there's even more, and I think we're going to explore this next week. But we've learned that the fear of God is the pathway to life, and that the fear of God produces obedience. But what does God say about his son this morning? God says, follow him. When they went up on the mountain and he was transfigured, the voice came, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. God says, look unto Christ, look unto my son, obey him, follow him. So Proverbs 9, verse 10. Look with me there in closing. Again, we're going to explore this a little more next week. The second part of 9:10, after the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says this, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. John 14:9, Jesus says to Philip, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So this morning, all of God's treasures, all of God's wisdom, all of his revelation to those who fear him come through the Son. So let me ask, who is the Holy One of Proverbs? It is God. So how can Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? And plus a plethora of another verses that speak very clearly to this. He can say this because he is God. So the fear of God finds its fulfillment in Christ. And we're going to, again, look at that a little more next week. This is the gospel. And so I hope that this has been helpful this morning. I know that even as I'm preaching and I'm thinking about these things, and as I, especially the last couple days, Friday and Saturday, looked at these things, there's a lot of mystery here with this last question. How does it come down to us? I'm going to do some more studying this week, and we're going to finish there again next week. But I hope it's been helpful to you. And I urge you and I exhort you, as a pastor, as a friend, as someone who cares, to fear God. And even if you only got one little thing out of this sermon, then dwell on that today. Because God is faithful to speak to us. He's spoken to me greatly, and I always get more, I'm sure, than all of you. But trust the Lord this week, and think about fearing Him this week, and look unto Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. It's great, it's good, it's awesome. We are the most privileged people in the world to be able to just to sit here for 45 minutes and read it and think about it in such ways. And then go from here and let Your Word dwell in our heart richly. And even as we sing together in spiritual songs and hymns and songs, Father, help us this week. Help us to fear You. Help us to understand more deeply what it means to fear You. And even as we look to next week for the applications of the person who fears and the person who doesn't, Father, may it, if You tarry, bring us back again safely together next week. We give You this day and this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We would love for you to visit us. Grace meets Sunday mornings at the South Rowan YMCA located at 950 Kimball Road, China Grove, North Carolina. Come fellowship at 9:30 a.m. and service starts at 10 a.m. Be intentional at making disciples this week, and may God bless you.